The 13th century Sufi mystic and poet Rumi tells the story of a man on his way back home from the market with his camel. He'd had a very good day and decided to stop at a mosque along the road and offer his thanks to God. He left his camel outside and went in with his prayer mat and spent several hours offering thanks to Allah, praying and promising that he'd be a good Muslim in the future, help the poor, and be an upstanding pillar in his community. When he emerged, it was already dark, and lo and behold, his camel was gone. He immediately flew into a violent temper and shook his fist at the sky, yelling, "You traitor, Allah, how could you do this to me? I put all my trust in you, and then you go and stab me in the back like this." Well, a passing Sufi dervish heard the man yelling and chuckled to himself. "Listen," he said, "trust God, but, you know, tie up your camel." And I share this story to invite us to begin thinking about what it means to trust. Who do we trust and why? With what do we trust them? And do we trust blindly or do we trust with an awareness? The man in the story wants to trust God, but perhaps he misunderstands the nature of our relationship with God a little bit. Do we expect God to do for us what we can do for ourselves? Is that trust? Both of our scripture readings today are about putting our trust in God. And the first reading from the book of Numbers is this kind of weird little story that I probably would skip over, except for Jesus refers to it. In the story, the Israelites are struggling as they travel through the desert. They're unhappy and complaining about everything that's going on. Their trust in God's leadership is waning. And then, on top of everything else, they suddenly find themselves plagued with poisonous snakes. People begin to die. Now, I don't believe God punishes us with tragedy, but that's the interpretations that the Israelites make. They assume these snakes are a result of their complaining, and they tell Moses, "Ask God to get rid of these snakes." Now, one reason I don't think God sent the snakes in the first place is that God doesn't get rid of them. What God does do, however, is provide a means for the people to be healed. They don't necessarily get what they ask for, what they expect, what they want, but God gives them a path through their suffering. God tells Moses to put that bronze snake on a pole, and then when someone is bitten, if they look at it, they'll live. And so we can understand the bronze snake to be a symbol of God's caring and love for the people. And when they look to that God-given symbol, they find life. They once again put their trust in God, and they demonstrate it with that action. They begin to live out their hope and trust, and it's that hope and trust in God that brings them the new life. Who do we look to when we are struggling? We still have metaphorical snakes that we deal with today in our lives. Personal struggles like illness, societal issues like poverty, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, our culture's emphasis on wealth and power over compassion, our propensity towards violence, our seeming inability to have respectful discourse and compromise in our political system. And on and on. It's overwhelming. I want to complain like the Israelites and shout out like the man who lost his camel, asking, "God, how could you let this happen?" But maybe the better, more productive question is, how do we get through it all? Where do we go from here? Who do we turn to when it feels like the world has bitten and poisoned us with fear and anger and hate and despair? Now, of course, when we have problems, we often look to someone like a teacher, a friend, or a mentor, someone that we trust and believe in, someone that we have confidence in. Jesus tells us to look to God's chosen one, the one whom God sent to reveal to us God's path, the one who is in their life and teachings, the very manifestation of God's love and caring. And of course, we understand this to be Jesus himself. And while trying to explain these things to Nicodemus, a religious leader, trying to explain how one can find healing and wholeness, find salvation in their lives, Jesus says that the chosen one must be lifted up like the serpent in the desert. And some people interpret that to say or to think that Jesus is talking about his crucifixion. And there is that allusion there when you know the rest of Jesus' story. But I don't think Nicodemus would have made that connection. Knowing the story of the Israelites and the snakes, Nicodemus would have understood the chosen one like the bronze snake as the symbol of God's love and caring, the symbol that we are to turn to when we seek life in the middle of tragedy and turmoil. And even if we want to make that connection with the cross, the message remains the same. To find the path to life in the midst of suffering, we turn and put our trust in the one who died on the cross and yet lived. We put our trust in Jesus. But I think we still come back to that question, what does it mean to trust? What does it mean to put our trust in Jesus? Well, Jesus famously tells Nicodemus that God so loved the world as to give the only begotten one, that whosoever believes may not die, but have eternal life. And God sent the only begotten into the world not to condemn the world, but that through the only begotten, the world might be saved. And those verses are so well known that we probably hear them and just automatically assume that we know what Jesus is talking about. But I think it actually requires a little bit of unpacking. After all, when I was growing up in the church, I was taught that to believe in Jesus meant affirming that Jesus was my Savior. And that was it. If you professed that magic phrase, then you were pretty much good to go. But that isn't what Jesus is talking about. It's not about believing in doctrine. And in fact, the Greek that is traditionally translated here as believe has little to do with believing in doctrine or believing in facts. It means to trust in or to have faith in. As in, I believe in Johnny, I believe in Sarah, I believe in Jesus. That is, I think they know what they're doing. I think they know what they're talking about. And so we might hear this famous verse as instead of whosoever believes, but whosoever trusts, or even whosoever listens and follows. Because isn't that what trust is? Not to expect God will do what we can do for ourselves, like that man with the camel, but to listen to God and follow. To live out our trust in God's way of love in our daily life. And this, Jesus says, leads to eternal life. When we walk in love, listening and following Jesus, we walk in unity with God. This is what eternal life means, to be in harmony with the divine power. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, we're told, but to save it. God doesn't send snakes, but God will send help, a light to reveal the path through and around our snakes. God wants us to be healed and whole, the loving and beloved people God created us to be. And I sometimes talk about the misguided ways of the world versus God's way of love. But that doesn't mean God is at odds with the world. God loves the world. The world is not God's enemy, but God's beloved creation. And so God sends us a light in Jesus to show us the path of love that leads us back to God, to eternal life, to healing and wholeness. And that path is open to anyone, whosoever, anyone who is willing to listen and follow and put their trust in what Jesus is telling us, to love one another. And accepting that path is not a neutral decision. It calls us to figure out and take a stance about who we are and what we stand for. Jesus tells Nicodemus also that those who trust in the chosen one avoid judgment. In other words, they've chosen life and taken a stand for love of God and neighbor. But those who refuse God's path of love make a choice as well. They ignore God's gift of light and instead live in darkness where they think they'll be hidden. They take a stand, but they take a stand for themselves. Hold up gold and guns as false gods. Consciously step on others to raise themselves up. They judge themselves, estranging themselves from God and their true, loving, divine nature. Where will we put our trust? To whom will we listen and follow? Do we want to hide in the darkness, fearful and despairing? Or do we want to live in the light of Jesus and walk the path of love? Living in the light means being seen, both our positive aspects as well as our weaknesses and mistakes. It means living unashamed as we grow into our loving selves. It means caring for and supporting those in need and those who are rejected by society. And it means swimming against the current of society's harmful ideologies. And I think above all else, it means choosing love and then doing our best to channel that love into the world so that the world too might be healed and saved. May the light and love of Christ shine brightly in and through all of us. Amen.